My name is Heath, by the way. I'm the lead pastor here at Reach. Sorry I was not here last week. I went to our sending church and got to hang out. And what was really cool is the first service, they didn't have any power. Big old nice building. Someone ran into a telephone pole down the road and no power. So we literally, in the lobby, set up like folding chairs, totally unplugged. It was great. And I prayed and the power came on, pretty much, the end. I'm kidding. I did pray that the power would come on, and like 30 minutes later it came on. I took a little credit for it, but not too much. Well, I just want to jump off of what Ryan just talked about. You know, this time of year is such a time of year that we can kind of go into coast mode, because, you know, most everybody's going to get some type of little break from work, and you're kind of thinking, hopefully, by this period of time, you've done most of your Christmas shopping. If not, have fun with everybody else. And, you know, it's so easy for us to just kind of get through and, like, almost because of the pressure of everything else, the end of the year, that we just kind of shut down the rest of our life and really kind of lose focus. And so the reason why we're doing Advent right now is really to refocus this time of year, to recapture some of the things that have been taken away, that some of the things that have become so commercial that we really lose the meaning. And so this morning, I want to really settle in, and this is a topic I've talked about a lot. I said partly because it's an area that I struggle with, to be honest. The area of joy, because we, as normal human beings, settle for happiness, or at least the illusion of happiness, for the real joy, everlasting, never-ending. And so what we want to do this morning is kind of look at the difference between those two things and go right back into Luke 2, looking at this encounter, an encounter that if you've been in and around church, you've heard over and over again. And I've said this because the last 2 weeks, I mean, we're reading through Luke in the story that every Christmas you kind of go, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I just ask that you with new eyes would look at these things. So before we get into the word, I just want to cover this two big ideas, the difference between happiness and joy. Happiness defined is a state of well-being or contentment, a pleasurable or satisfying experience, which is how I'm going to allude to or talk about happiness for the rest of the time, where joy is a source or cause of happiness, something or someone that gives joy. Two different things. Happiness is based on experience. Happiness is based on you getting that gift that you want for Christmas, opening up that box and being like, yes, fill in your blank. I won't let you judge me by putting in my blank. You're like, why is he so excited about that? Just because. So I'm not even going to throw it out there, but, you know, it's something, and maybe it's like that we get to do this, or, you know, these Christmas traditions that you do as a family, we're waiting for this moment, so then in that moment we can be happy instead of having something that is outside of, or like Ryan said, that is through the Christmas season, looking through the lens. See, looking for joy in Christmas is just like Ryan said, it is so dangerous that we see everything else and we miss what this season is pointing to. And so I want to start, pray, and then I want to get right into the Word and us look at this through God's point of view and not just mine. So dear Heavenly Father, Lord, anytime we talk about your plan that you made before the creation of the world and how you perfectly unfolded that plan, Lord, we can miss things. Lord, we can look at the same text that we've seen over and over again through the lens of Luke 2, and we can shut down the reality of what your truth is trying to speak to us. And so this morning, I pray that you would almost shake off our expectations of what Luke 2 and the encounter with the shepherds mean and what that looks like. And Lord, I pray that you would just kind of shake off all of our little nativity scenes that we have sitting in our house and that you would make it into what it is, a portrait of who you're after. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would open our eyes and our ears and our heart to you this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 16:11 puts it like this, talking about joy. It says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Let me repeat this again. In your presence there is fullness. Like, I don't know about you, but I love the idea of fullness of joy. Not just like a little bit of joy, not like a little bit of happiness, but a fullness of joy. And it's always linked to the presence of God, which is what we're getting to. Because like Megan was saying earlier, loving the name Emmanuel, that is literally God with us. That's why this season is as monumental to us, or should be. Because like literally God demonstrated his affection for us in real, tangible ways. See, the fullness of joy, not just a taste, but literally the source. And so before we jump in, we're going to be in, for the most part, we're going to be in Luke 2, 8 through 20. But I want to give you a little bit, if you weren't here the last 2 weeks, where we've been. So the first week we started with this encounter with Gabriel. With Mary, when Gabriel, the angel, comes to Mary and says, "Hey, you're going to be with child," and tells her how that's going to happen. Remember, this is a 14 or 15-year-old girl that is engaged to be married to a man. This is not the culture that we live in today. This is a culture that purity was a standard, period. And stepping outside of that purity in this culture could literally mean death, stoning. And so here you have this encounter with Gabriel. And if you were here the first week, the big idea was that God made a promise in Isaiah that I'm going to bring my child into the world through a virgin. And he did exactly what he said he was going to do. And so if God does exactly what he says he's going to do, we can trust his promises, which is where our hope comes from, because hope is something that we don't see. Hope is something that's out in front of us, and the guarantee of our hope is always linked to the person of Jesus. And last week, I wasn't here, but I did listen to Daniel. Love Daniel. Who else loves Daniel? He's not in this room, but absolutely love Daniel Barth and his family, and I love hearing his passion for this. And probably you've skimmed through Zechariah's prophecy about 1,000 times. I loved hearing him talk about this, the lens of God forever showed his love for us in that he came in the flesh. I mean, how more beautiful is this season that we get to experience a hope that is a guarantee because it's based on Jesus. We get to know that we are loved because of his action. And today we get to see and know that there is something for us now. And here's the beauty of joy. Joy isn't a later thing. Hope is a later thing. It's something that we're hoping for in the future. Joy is a now thing. And the one thing that we will see as we open up and this unfolds before us is that the now can be with us regardless of what's going on. See, happiness, when it's linked to an experience or a thing, that thing can be taken away, can be broken, can be missing, can be stolen, and our happiness be gone, versus joy can be with us regardless of what's going on. And so then this little thing, I mean, I love when we look through the lens of Luke 2 that we get to see God's sovereign hand moving his purpose through wicked, evil leaders. Some guy was like, "Hey, I want to count how many people I got. I think that's a great idea. So I'm going to call a census and I'm going to get everybody to go back to their hometown to be counted. Lo and behold, Joseph goes back to his hometown with his betrothed Mary, who is pregnant with the Savior of the world, going to this little city that was prophesied 700 years ago. I mean, do you see this? Just this work of God going to his end of going, hey, guys. Because you're like, oh, you know, well, you know, Joseph and Mary, they live here. And it was like, how is this going to work out? And God uses this man to call census to bring Mary and Joseph to this city where he said that the Messiah would be born to be born. And so they're going to the city. And you know the story. And Joseph and Mary, they get there a little late. They maybe don't have enough money. They didn't call and make the reservations, husbands. Anybody, you know, supposed to have done that and didn't do that and get there? Okay, don't raise your hand. I know you're in here. You know, it's happened to me a time or two, you know, but it just didn't happen. We don't know why they didn't have a room, you know, whatever. Maybe Mary didn't get ready in time and it's her fault. Anyone? See, the guys are liking that one. They didn't like the first one. And so they get there and they're in the town, but there's nowhere to stay. And so they go into a manger, and this isn't a, you know, wood, nice barn like you may have in your backyard. This is a hewn out, most likely a hewn out rock side of a mountain where they put the animals and store things. And where there's animals, there's feces. And this is where they're offered to stay. And it's this story that we're so familiar with that we don't even think about the reality that the creator of the world is getting ready to be placed in a manger where most people wouldn't even walk into. The Savior of the world is going to be born in this place. This is big, and this is where I'm going even with the shepherds. And so they're in the city, they're getting settled in, and Jesus is getting ready to be born. Now, I don't know about you. My wife has had three kids, and, you know, I've been there. Didn't really do a whole lot. I'm not taking credit for it. But, I know the process, but I know leading up to that last month of pregnancy is awesome. You get to sleep. You know, you don't have to pee every 5 minutes. They're, you know, you're just comfortable all the time. Okay, those are lies. All the guys are like, yeah, no, that's horrible. It's the worst month of their life, which most of you know because it's the worst month of your life. And can you imagine riding a donkey? I mean, this isn't like, hey, babe, you know, I'm gonna just lower the seat and you're going to get comfortable and you can put your feet up on the dash, which I don't allow in my car, but during that period of time, you can do that. No, she's riding a donkey pregnant. I mean, like, not like pregnant, like pregnant. And so they're there. I mean, I'm sure they're getting settled in, and maybe that ride is what really brought Jesus into the world. Like, on, you know, I remember being in those times where you're just like, whatever it takes, and you're looking at the website like, pressure point on foot, jumping, like whatever you're doing, like spicy food, IBS, we don't care, you know, whatever. And you're thinking anything, and like, maybe we should put on the list, like, going a long donkey ride. And so here we get this image. So it pulls back from Mary and Joseph in the manger, and it goes into the neighboring field to these shepherds. And we pick this up in verse 8. It says, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock. And here's one thing that I want to just hammer down. Why shepherds? Like, if you wanted a big thing to be known, you would not have played out the story the way you've played it. Pick a no one. Like, this wasn't a popularity contest. Mary wasn't, you know, the princess. And I know I've said, like, please don't take any offense to me saying Mary was no one, but she was no one. She wasn't anything special, and I know that goes against our grain, but she was just a young girl that God said, you are going to carry my child. And here are these shepherds. Like, these aren't the people. They're not even allowed. They miss the Sabbath because they're working, because the animals don't take a Sabbath. So they have to continue their job. They don't get to come in for the ritualistic cleanings. They're a unclean people, partly because they're not participating in the laws of cleanliness. So they wouldn't even be invited into the temple. They're out there tending the sheep. I mean, think about that. I love this. I think this, if you hear nothing else, is that this is where the gospel came to. Like, this is the door that God opened. Verse 9, it says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them. Remember, we've talked about that. When the angel of the Lord appeared, it's not like, hey, that's cool. Like, you know, it's fear. It's on your face, terrified that something, they're thinking Sodom and Gomorrah, like, it's getting ready to go down. I knew I shouldn't have watched that movie last night. Anyway, they didn't have movies back then, just for the record. Somebody's like, I didn't read that in the Bible. It's not. Just trying to relate it. In the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear, of course. And the angel of the Lord said to them, which I still think is hilarious, fear not, for behold, I bring good news of great joy that will be for all the people. See, it is fitting here to remind ourselves that joy is not the same thing as happiness. Happiness is a feeling. It's based on your situation. It changes when your situation does. You do not have to have happiness to have joy. So nothing changed in the lives of these shepherds. They didn't all of a sudden win the lottery with the angel appearing. They're still the same people. See, the angel didn't announce, I bring you good news of great happiness. They came to announce to us joy, joy that transcends our situation. Joy is a gift of God and a fruit of the Holy Spirit. I mean, can you imagine being out in the dark, tending your flock, and an angel appears in the glory of the Lord? I mean, like, turned on all the lights. They weren't like, you know, is this really an angel? Does he have powers? Boom. Lights on. No question. And then verse 11, it says, for unto you, and this is important. Check this out. So right before that, it says, good news of great joy that will be for all people, which is what we think when we think about Christianity. We think about what Jesus did. It's for all people. And then the angel brings it right to these guys. And he says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you that you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Oh, that's great. Good to hear that. I'll put it on my calendar next week. No. See, even the shepherds being isolated the way they were, not looked to for being the religious elite, understood what was being spoken to them by the angels. And the angels was going to show them by proof, because they're saying, hey, in this city, the Savior is born. You can go check it out right now. Like, it's not saying, hey, there's a purple elephant in the field right over there. Like, he's saying, hey, there's a purple elephant. You can go see it. And I'm not saying Jesus is a perfect purple elephant. But he's saying what we're telling you is not just information. You can literally go put your eyes on it. And so in verse 13 it says, and suddenly, so not just one angel, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and singing. Could you imagine, like, one angel giving this news, and it's like, I dramatize everything. I don't know why my brain works like that, but then to me, it's like the angel's like, da, da, da. And like the heavenly host is like, they come in right on beat, and it's like to the, you know, the worship just blows up. You didn't see them before, the lights cut on, you know, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, the whole thing. like crazy. Them shepherds were like, man, I've never been to a concert. And we're getting a private one out here. And I mean, the heavens open up. Then they're singing glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among those whom God is pleased. It says, then the angels went away from them into heaven. And the shepherds said to one another, of course, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. See, here's the dilemma of this season is that we can come and we can hear and we can forget to go. That we can hear about how good the hope of God is and how good the love of our Savior is and how much joy we can have in that. And we can go, oh, isn't that special? Bless their heart. And then we can walk out of here and go right back to where we were instead of, let's go. Like, let's go see this. See, they didn't settle for the experience in the light show. They didn't just go, man, that was the best worship experience I've ever had done. Here's an idea. When heaven meets earth, our only response is real, lasting joy. See, when you get a taste of the real thing, you don't settle for just having that. You're like, oh, I got to go see this. And so what do? Verse 16, it says, and they went with haste. Like, I don't know why, but like in my mind, they still have a job. They're like, forget these sheep. Like, maybe they said a prayer, like, Lord, host, can you watch them? We'll be right back. And so with haste, they're running. I don't know if there's like a competition. I don't know if you remember this, but when it had been known that Jesus had resurrected from the dead, two of the disciples took off running. One was faster than the other. Just saying. So I don't know if there's a competition. I don't know who's first. But it says, with haste, they found Mary and Joseph and a baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the sayings that had been told them concerning the child. This was the first message from outside of these two people, the family of John the Baptist and the family of Jesus. This is the first proclamation in its shepherds. It's the fringe that are coming and saying, look, this is what we just heard. This is what the angel, I don't know if you heard it. You probably did. Like, this just happened. This is what the angel proclaimed about this child, and we're here. In verse 19, it says, but Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. In verse 20, it says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. So the angel of the Lord opened up the heavens and saying, I bring you good news of great joy. And they didn't just go, oh, that's great. Like, I want joy. They pursued the source of joy. They saw Jesus with their own eyes. They proclaimed the message of the heavenly host, and they returned glorifying and praising God. Like, I want, I don't know if y'all remember the radio stories. I can't remember the host right now because this is not on my notes. And this is the rest of the story. Who is that guy? Paul Harvey, yes. Like, I want the rest of the story. I want to know, like, what these shepherds, like, these could be some of the early church elders. Like, I want that. I would love to see, because I have a hard time believing that these guys experienced that and didn't wait with anticipation for Jesus' first day of his ministry. Could you imagine 30-some years later, there he is. Like, I wish that was so. That's not in here, so we don't know. But, like, I love the reality that this changed their life. And see, here's the thing.
He still was a baby. We talked about this week one. There was still 30 years to come before he started doing any ministry, started really stepping into the role that God had, about blaspheming right there, not created him for, sent him for. Still a baby, and it says, look, their joy was rooted in the hope of what was promised would come through Jesus. Like our joy right now that we can literally walk out of this room with is not rooted in your situation changing. Because the shepherds didn't get a new position. The shepherds didn't become the new priests. The shepherds didn't get the new garments. They didn't walk out with, you know, piles of gold. They walked out with the reality that they witnessed and were messengers to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords. Let me say this again, what I just said a second ago. When heaven meets earth, our only right response is real, lasting joy. And I know it's hard to comprehend that this is a senior center that gets used during the week. And, you know, we've kind of lost the concept that we're in like a holy of holies because we're not. And we can lose some of the reality that this still right now is a place, a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. His word says where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there. Like right now, the power that brought Jesus from the dead is in this room. Like here, when we're singing these songs, this isn't just music. And, you know, I sit in the front intentionally and the worship team gets to tell me that they get to hear me. You don't want to hear me. But it is not about you. Like, the reason why we sing isn't so that we can sing on key and so that we can harmonize together. The reason why we sing is because we're declaring a truth. We're declaring who our joy is rooted in, period. It's nothing else. I know it becomes so many other things as we sit here, but it is truly that. When we're here worshiping, when we're here hearing His word, it is literally for us to be connected and opened to the goodness of God. And I just ask, it's the 17th of December. Your life is getting ready to go into hyperdrive. Like, I'm sure the cumulative mileage that's going to be had from people in this room traveling to see family members and going here or there, your life is going to hit hyperspeed and it will be very easy to lay things down. It'll be very easy to just, you know, well, you know, January 1, I'll get my joy back. I'll get my peace back. I'll rest in the love of my Savior. What if now we did that? See, the good news of great joy, are you experiencing that? Are you sitting here, and I'm not talking about circumstantial. Remember, we're not talking about happiness. We're not talking about, you know, I was talking to Richard, hate to throw you out. Richard just had surgery on his shoulder. I mean, lots of pain. I mean, so like it could be like, well, I'm not really happy because I hurt. But you can still have joy in that, knowing that you're moving away from where you were before into a better position of not having pain. But are you experiencing the joy, the fullness of joy that God offers? Because if you aren't, it's not because of God. If he went to the shepherds to declare who he was to a lesser people, he's here for us, offering us the true joy, the true hope, and the true love. John Piper said this in the fight for joy. It says it's the fight for joy is not a struggle to carry a burden, but a struggle to let a burden be carried for us. The life of joy in God is not a burdened life. It is a unburdened life. To trust God with the burdens of life. So if you're not experiencing joy because of some burden, it's because you're trying to carry the burden of whatever it is. Instead of going, God, here, take this from me so that I can be free. That's what he's here for. My last verse before we close, I just want to, one I love, actually the first funeral I ever did, this was the text that I preached out of, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And it's probably familiar to you. It says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I don't know where you are. I don't know what place you find yourself in, partly because we have a good way of hiding how we really are. We have a good way of disguising the dysfunction in our life and the brokenness in our life because we don't want others to know. And I just want to unshackle you this morning. You cannot free yourself from the burden you're carrying. Because if you could, you would have already. But a loving God who came to the lowliest is asking for your burden, is asking for that. Because when we replace or place our burden on Him, the exchange for that is our joy. Because when we turn over a burden, not only do we not have the burden anymore, but we have the understanding of how God takes the burden from us. That in His love and mercy for humanity, He provided a way that they could not. That He sent His Son to be the perfect sacrifice, to be what you could never be. And Jesus had one mission when He entered this world on this faithful day, and that mission was going straight to the cross. Nothing would stop that. I remember growing up in my heart was always angry at those people who crucified our Jesus. Not fully understanding until I got a little bit older that it was me that took Jesus to the cross. Because if Jesus didn't go to the cross, there would be no chance for redemption for me. There would be no chance of righteousness for me. There would be no chance of any relationship with God. And He had one mission, and nothing would stop Him from that. Even allowing His creation to manhandle, abuse, and ultimately kill Him for us. So what I want to just land on, I'm going to invite our worship team to come back up, and as we finish our service with worship, if you don't have that joy, ask yourself a few questions. And the beauty of it is that right now God's here in this room. His word says, as we draw near to Him, He draws near to us. If you're lacking understanding, He says, for all those that don't have wisdom, just ask. So if you're going, hey, I don't have that joy, I don't know why, ask. Now the problem is be ready for what He says. Because sometimes we don't like it when we're the issue. And most likely God's going to bring to you and saying, here. The problem is a condition that you have on the inside of you, and you need me there. And so two things as we go into worship. If you're a believer, a blood-bought child of God, and you're not resting in the joy, change your perspective. You've lost the focus of where your joy and your peace and your hope and your love comes from. If you're not a child of God, none of these things are yours until you are. And the beauty of it is that if he, which he did, came to Mary, and he came to these dirty shepherds out in the field to partake in his kingdom, then it's available to you. And really that availability is just going, God, I need you. And so during this last song, you can invite God to begin participating in your life. And you can submit to that saying, God, I trust your word. And I'm going to start looking at this like you're speaking to me. And I need you to lead me. Because every one of our issues is when we take control of our world. Instead of love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's really simple. But it is really difficult / impossible without the key to that, which is Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you that your faithful night of appearing to sheep and shepherds in the field changed our world. Lord, you've been shocking and surprising those that felt that they were on the outside, felt that they were never going to be on the inside, felt that they would never be welcomed into your kingdom, into your house. You came knocking. So Lord, I pray that we would turn our ear to the knocking of you. Lord, your word says that you stand at the door and knock. Lord, don't allow us to ignore you any longer, but open our hearts to you. Lord, if we've got our life off kilter, Lord, straighten us again. Fix our alignment. Adjust us. And Lord, I just pray that you would just pour out in this room just a heart of repentance, a heart of acknowledging where we have fallen short and laying those burdens at your feet. And Lord, we just thank you for the joy everlasting that you offer us. And let us walk in that today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.